You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are learning about the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education today. One of my favorite groups to get to talk with here about education, taking an approach that sometimes we don't give enough attention to. And so we like to do that here on Faith and Family, give some attention and learn more about classical Lutheran education. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Robert Paul. He's with the Board of Directors for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, also pastor and headmaster at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Roswell, New Mexico. Pastor Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Andy.
Glad to have you with us today and excited to learn more about the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Now, I know you all are in town, the Board of Directors meeting in town to plan and work for your events for this coming year and work on things, collaborate as you do as educators and those who support classical Lutheran education. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education.
Sure. Well, I was first introduced to classical Lutheran education by a former member of the board, the current district president of the Wyoming district, Pastor John Hill. He was a principal, headmaster and pastor at Mount Hope Lutheran Church and School. My wife taught there, and that's how I found out about classical Lutheran education sort of in its fullest form at a school. I then started to wanted to be a headmaster and pastor, and that was my first call. To Roswell, and I attended the conference. When I attended the conference, the senior pastor at the time asked if he could nominate me to go on the board in his place, because he also, Reverend Dan Priner, served on the board too. So within that year, then I sort of got elected as a newcomer onto the board at the conference, and that's the big, sort of the big ticket item that the CCLE provides every year. Is their annual conference in usually in July. This year, CCLE 17 is in Cheyenne, Wyoming, at Trinity Lutheran Church and School there in Cheyenne.
What was it about classical Lutheran education that was significant to you that made you say this is significant, this is important, this is something I need to learn more about? And in order to be a better educator, to be a better pastor?
Well, first of all, the sort of overwhelming commitment to the truth of the gospel, that education ultimately is about teaching the faith, the content of the scriptures, Christ as the free gift of salvation for the world. And that's the primary reason why we educate. And that sort of seems understood, but oftentimes we find in Lutheran schools and then outside where classical education is gripping other Christian schools that most of the time it's just a school with maybe one chapel service a week or a little bit of religion instruction. But at classical Lutheran schools, it seems overwhelmingly that it's everywhere. Many have chapel every single day. They memorize and recite the catechism every single day and Lutheran hymns every day. Religion curriculum in terms of learning the content of the scriptures and further in depth in the catechism in the Book of Concord, these things are normal. So that's sort of the first appeal. The second is I happen to really like languages and history and mythology and good literature, and that's part of the backbone. Because Western civilization is on the foundation on which classical education was always built. So when you first go into a classical Lutheran school, those two things tend to hit you square right in the face. Personally, I like those very much, so it wasn't that hard of an adjustment. But it's very hard to disagree with the fact that they're both based in truth. First, the truth of God's word, and second, the truth of reason and of logic and of the things that we sort of hold dear in the world. So that really ends up being the appeal that classical Lutheran education certainly should have for our church at large, for our schools, and for the world. But one that hit me and has carried through now that I've been involved in schools since then.
What does, through your involvement in school, why is that important to you as a pastor to be involved in in Lutheran education, in the classroom? Why is it important for a pastor to spend time with the students in the classroom?
Well, in congregations that don't have schools, you really do not get to see your children very much, the children of the congregation. You may get to have them at confirmation class for 2 years or however long the general program lasts. You may get to see them at Sunday school if they come, or some youth events, but you really have very limited exposure to them. They are in the world all the time. When you have a classical Lutheran school, that is their exposure. They're there constantly. And you, as the pastor, get to see them constantly. I happen to love teaching and currently teach a number of classes at our school. But to be the extension of your own families, right, the congregation's homes, in raising their children with them, giving them the gospel every day, giving them a foundation for good learning that will build them into good neighbors every day, is really an opportunity that should not be missed. If a pastor can do that, if he has a school locally in an association or in his own congregation, it really behooves him to be involved with them, just as he would wish to do with his own children if God has granted him those, because that's our duty as parents, is to raise our children in the faith. Classical Lutheran schools give us the best way to do this. And so to take every opportunity to, if we have classical Lutheran schools nearby, to support them, or if we have sort of the standard Lutheran school nearby, to speak with those teachers and principals, congregations, tell them what this is really about, the heritage that's sort of been lost and kept in the attic for so long, take it out, read about it, learn about it, and that's what the CCLE does, is to support awareness. We accredit schools, we certify teachers, we work to build the backbone that supports what was the backbone of Lutheran education for a very long time in this country.
How does CCLE collaborate and support educators and schools, even families?
First, we have the annual conference, mm-hmm. which is meant to give lectures and presentations to both inform what classical Lutheran education is and then various aspects of how that works in the classroom, in the homeschool classroom, as a pastor, as an administrator. And that would be sort of the main thing, and is the main drive, the one thing that sort of kept this push going for the past, over a decade. Within the past 5 years or so, and a little more, the CCLE has moved to accrediting schools. And home, with the teacher certification, also sort of certifying homeschoolers, homeschool parents, not just brick-and-mortar teachers. So the school accreditation works together with National Lutheran School Accreditation. So it certainly isn't a... some people probably might think of classical Lutheran schools as a splinter movement or some sort of subversive thing. But no, classical Lutheran schools are the return to the truth of what Lutheran education was for a long time. And it's so wonderful to be able to work together with our synod on these things, to have public exposure, to... work together with teachers. Many members of our boards go and have been going to different schools throughout the country to teach them about classical Lutheran education. Schools are converting back to this in all different regions, not just sort of the traditional places. If you look on our website, you'll see there are Texas schools and Wyoming schools, but many are interested. So there's that in the broad sense, taking care of schools. The teacher certification program is pretty new, but very helpful and very useful. And this hits the homeschool front, certainly, because it's meant to provide a way to understand benchmarks, what you're doing at home, providing for your children, just as it is to help give potential teacher candidates or current teachers a way to better themselves in being both classical and Lutheran and applying that in the classroom.
You mentioned that there are an increasing number of schools who are expressing interest in learning about the classical Lutheran education approach to education, learning about what it means to be a classical Lutheran school. Why do you think there's an increase in interest in classical Lutheran education?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. From a pragmatic standpoint, classical Lutheran education is rigorous, and it is academically challenging and substantive. And locally, in many parts of the country, education isn't like that, mostly public education. And so where that has filtered into our parochial schools and where many people are used to just using public schools, they're seeing a lack in academic content, and they're being driven by a thirst for the way things used to be. Everybody has that sort of idea in their mind that when I went to school, I learned X, Y, and Z, and now they're not learning that anymore. And classical Lutheran education actually provides part of that nostalgia with truth, not just sort of gold trimmings. So I think first is pragmatic. Classical Lutheran education provides the real education that people are desiring, founded in Western civilization and good literature and good traditional learning of rote memorization and things like that. Secondly, of course, is the more esoteric, but people actually care about the truth. They don't just want a good school. They want good morals. They want the faith of the church to be handed down to their children. And so that's certainly a very important appeal in the classical Lutheran model, because it provides a distinctive way of doing that. When you walk into a classical Lutheran school, it is being transported to a different kind of place. It isn't just any other school. It is a hall of learning. It is a hall of faith, of receiving the gospel, of being raised to think about things as a Christian in the lens of the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and the Creed, and to understand baptism as a part of life. So I think the appeal that classical Lutheran schools have is really very broad, because it hits on the necessities. We want our children to be educated. We want our children to be Christians. We want them to have the best. There's that American strive for the best, I think, is met in this model, in this philosophy. Really more than a model, because it's foundational.
Walk me through the process of a school going through accreditation. We don't have to go through every detail, but help me understand what that process looks like, and what does that do for a school? What does it mean if a school is accredited by the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education?
Sure. A number of years ago, the CCLE developed a set of benchmarks for a classical Lutheran school and now a classical Lutheran educator. Those are available on ccle.org on our website. And the accreditation process focuses on the Lutheran side of your school, really the Lutheran identity, how you live out the Lutheran faith in worship services, in catechesis, in the faculty. That's the first portion. The second deals with the classical identity. Is Latin a part of your curriculum? Well, do you read real literature and good literature? Do you use logic in the upper grades in terms of teaching? Do you use memorization and songs and techniques which build in rote truth in the lower grades, sort of the grammar stage, as we call it. So the second portion then looks at how you are classical and what you do. And the third is governance, institutional governance. So when a school is considering accreditation, it really functions two ways. First, it sharpens your sword. It allows you to see what you are doing in your school and what you can do better. And then secondly, people like to know that schools, teachers are approved from the outside. I think that's just a human thing, right? We like acknowledgement that from somebody else. Right? It's one thing for somebody to say that they've done all these things and have titles, but it's if someone grants them the title, the certification, the accreditation, then it's not just their word, It's a much bigger thing. This happens with public school people and teacher certification, right? How are you certified? So this accreditation then is helpful for the classical Lutheran school, for the Lutheran school pursuing a classical way of thinking, in both ways. It helps you see, are you classical? Where do you have to go? What do you need to work on? How Lutheran are you? Is it just a part of your name, or is it a part of your ethos? Is it really who you are? And then, does your machine well run? Run well, rather. Is it a well-run machine, is what I meant to say. That's the third portion. So it's really a great process. Our school was accredited officially last summer. So I've been through the process as a headmaster. And it is very helpful and very significant.
What does that mean to the parents, to the families of your school now, to be a CCLE accredited school? Has that made a difference for them?
Sure. In some states, being an accredited school means that you can also receive some, not funding, but beneficial services like speech. Depending on where you live, I'm not sure how all states work, but simply having an accreditation allows us to provide that resource for people. And sometimes with it being difficult, classical Lutheran schools are rigorous, having a couple of those additional services helps people feel easy. They might not pursue a classical Lutheran education because they're nervous about certain needs their children might have. So again, there's a pragmatic side. Again, the feather in the cap. If you say we're an accredited school, people like the way that sounds. And it does. It does sound good because it means that the school you're going to takes seriously the job they do. It's one thing to not think about your house. It's one thing to clean your house for yourself. It's another thing to clean your house for guests. When you prepare your home to have people over, to have people come in, and experience your hospitality, there's a level of pride that you're presenting your home to others, and a level of enjoyment that comes from those being there. In a very basic way, making sure that a school is inviting and does its job well is very comforting for parents. They know that the headmaster and the faculty take their roles seriously, and bettering their roles seriously, that it's not just a status quo thing, but that they care about being the best they can be for the sake of the students and the families.
Walk us through a typical day or a typical week at Emmanuel Lutheran School.
All right. Well, we start every morning with at 8 o'clock on the dot with Luther's morning prayer and the invocation, serving two roles. One, beginning the day with prayer, but two, making sure people are in their classes on time. At 8:05, we have Matins every day. We go to the sanctuary where either myself or our associate pastor, who teaches 5th and 6th grade for us, Pastor Cholak, we lead the service of Matins, sung by all of our school children, Lutheran and non-Lutheran alike, where we hear preaching and reading the hymns of the Lutheran Church, where we sing the Te Deum and the Benedictus, and we pray the litany during Lent. It's a wonderful formative time for all of us where it's not merely about instruction, but about devotion and receiving the gifts of God. And then all of our students from 3 years old to high school, because we partner with Wittenberg Academy, go to their classrooms and begin their day's work. They study math and religion in an instructional basis, catechism, Bible stories, doctrine. We use Saxon math, so we're working on math facts in the lower grades and moving up through algebra to the upper grades. Like I've mentioned, we read literature. So as soon as our students can read, we begin reading books and not simply just primers, but good literature. The works of our oldest students just finished reading Hamlet in seventh grade. And our fifth, sixth are reading The Hobbit. That's a look there. Spelling, English grammar are all part of the regular rigmarole, the joyous rigmarole of our school. By 11 o'clock, we then transitioned to Latin, when we tried to do Latin by skill level, so our students go to different where they are in the process of mastering Latin. We have three classes right now that leads towards lunch. Our school also uses a house system where our students are not just broken up into classes. Many classical schools are doing this. I'm not sure how many Lutheran schools are doing this, but where we are divided in families. So all of our siblings stay together, but we've divided our school into three houses named after the solas of Lutheran theology, Scriptura House, Gratia House, and Fide House. And that's how we eat lunch, at big long tables where the head boys, our oldest boys in each house, actually help sort of parent, check on the younger students, and train everybody to think that way, that lunch isn't just about sitting with friends and socializing, but also taking care of each other. Who needs a napkin? Is there polite conversation? Are we eating the right way? And that's been a really wonderful thing that we've just started this year for our students. And then, of course, recess, and the afternoon is filled with any subjects that are left to be taught, as well as music and art, chess club, drama, logic instruction in the upper grades. All of those things sort of round out our day when we then close around 3:15. And that continues every day throughout the week. We do still have some students who come some days and not others for homeschooling at home, but predominantly we serve a 5-day parochial school community that relishes in the classical Lutheran education we're able to provide.
How have the students responded? You mentioned the the lunch setting and being broken up into houses or families. How have the students taken to that approach, especially around the lunch setting, and some taking a leadership role, more of a servant leadership role, making sure that everyone is cared for?
Well, they absolutely love it. There's a higher level of competition because they want it. We give points out at lunch for behavior and etiquette and quiet when we need silence and things like that. So there's a level of competition there, but also sort of loyalty to one's house. We have faculty members who are house parents. One student in particular, he has taken on the role of head boy, as you said, servant leadership in the best way possible. He barely ever sits down. He walks around the long three tables almost the entire time, making sure that everybody's okay. No one asked him to do this. We simply said, older students, please take care of younger students. But his devotion to caring for everybody, he happens to be an older brother in his own family, is really, it's paramount, and it is wonderful to see. And you see that at the other tables too, that the students are actually taking a bit of ownership in taking care of others. Oftentimes with grades, you get social cliques, but our life is not actually like that. Families aren't like that. Business places aren't like that. You're always with different people of different backgrounds and ages, and so this has been, I think, been very helpful, and I look forward to seeing the fruits of it in years to come. But that one student in particular is really a great example of we asked, and he's gone well beyond what we expected and provides a great example for the rest of the students.
We have just about a minute left before we need to wrap up, but I'd like to ask if there are questions that are from parents that are new to, what is the most common question from parents that are new to classical Lutheran education, and how do you respond to that?
Sure. Well, when they're brand new to classical Lutheran education, they often ask about why it has to be difficult, that you'll get this sort of, oh, we spend so much time working on things. Our general culture has gotten used to ease and accessibility. The new generations have lost hard work as a normal part of life. Older generations knew this. Maybe some academic, mostly manual labor. It's difficult because it is worth it. And sometimes it actually isn't difficult, even though it seems that way. And so sort of the old adage that if it's worth working at, it's worth doing. We pride ourselves in caring a lot about good education for the sake of the neighbor and giving the gospel. And so if there are classical Lutheran schools in your area, if there are Lutheran schools whom you think might be interested in going classical, contact the CCLE through our website, ccle.org, and we'd be more than happy to either talk about sending a member of our board to give discussions on it, right, to give lectures, presentations. It's really a very worthwhile thing pursuing because, first of all, it's the gospel. The school gives the gospel to the children and to the faculty and to the parents. And second of all, it gives great education, which we need for the benefit of our families and society. So I think, although it sometimes seems daunting, it is certainly worth it because of what it gives to all those who are there to get it.
Thanks, and thanks for mentioning the website as well, ccle.org, the website. You can also find information about the upcoming conference, July 11th through the 13th this summer. Find out more about that conference and learn about classical Lutheran education. Our guest today, the Reverend Robert Paul of Emmanuel, pastor and headmaster of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Roswell, New Mexico, and the board of directors for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Pastor Paul, thanks for being my guest today.
Well, thank you very much.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
When women go into Planned Parenthood for an abortion, the facility tells them up front, please do not bring your children with you. Every woman who goes in for an abortion brings a child with her in the womb, but the abortion giant is talking about the siblings of those preborn children, the brothers and sisters of the child sentenced to die. Why don't they want children present? Because it's bad for business. Women waiting for abortions are more apt to see these children and change their minds about aborting their own. On another Planned Parenthood note, the notorious traveling abortionist Nicola Moore lost her job. She was working for the Clinton Global Initiative, promoting her deadly craft, but funding dried up in the wake of Hillary's loss, and all lost their jobs.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Cross Defense, your weekly dose of knowing why you believe what you believe so that you will be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the hope that you have in the life, death, resurrection, and return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us on this journey into ultimate truth known as Christian dogmatics, that which is laid down for us to give a clear defense of our most holy faith, Mondays at 2 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by the Luther Academy.
The Bible has something to say about faith. That message is here on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Faith and Family, I'm Sarah Gulseth. Today we're talking about CCLE, the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. CCLE provides support for classical Lutheran educators and schools, including homeschool families. We're going to talk a bit more about the relatively new CCLE teacher certification. Joining me by Skype from Australia is CCLE certified teacher Joanna Hensley, who is a Latin teacher for the Wilson Hill Academy, which is an online classical school based out of Austin, Texas. Welcome, Joanna.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us. So tell me a bit about, while in Australia, your role with the Lutheran education system and how that kind of works and with the scheduling.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Sarah. Most of my education work is still in the United States. We just happen to live in Australia, and so that's why I'm doing the work from here. But these days, with technology being the way it is and online classes, I was teaching for an online school, Wilson Hill Academy, that you mentioned, for the past few years. And when my husband, who is a Lutheran pastor, got a call to teach Old Testament here at the seminary in Adelaide, it was such an amazing thing that I would be able to move to a different country but still keep my same job in America. And I am teaching Latin here in Australia as well. We've got a class at my church, and we've got some adult learners, and I've got some kids that I work with too. So I'm just trying to get classical education to all four corners of the globe, I guess.
That is very cool that you would be, you're able to move halfway around the world and still be able to have that same vocation of teacher, instructor.
I'm really thankful for that, Sarah. And I know that always with many pastors' wives who are also working and have their own sort of things that they are doing with their lives just vocationally, I'm very blessed to be able to have such a flexible job, flexible because of the internet, and what a great tool that is.
The internet is an amazing thing these days, that's for sure. So what does it mean exactly to be a CCLE certified teacher? This is something that's relatively new, so a lot of people, even if they're associated with CCLE, may not really fully understand what that actually means. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that actually means to be a CCLE certified teacher?
Yeah, sure, Sarah. A CCLE certified teacher is someone who's been able to demonstrate what they're calling the marks of a classical Lutheran educator. And these marks of a classical Lutheran educator are basically three sort of headings that you can think about. One being showing a commitment to Lutheran doctrine, another being a commitment to classical methodology, and then third, sort of the administrative side of things, showing that you are an able teacher who is able to communicate and keep up with your grade book and do all those teacher things that are such a big part of your administration of your classical classroom or classical school.
Sure. So can you give us a little bit more insight into each one of those sections, especially the first two?
Yeah, that commitment to Lutheran doctrine I found really interesting, because I think sometimes when people go out to be certified, I think most teachers are familiar with their local state certification. There's such an emphasis on your own area of expertise, and rightly so. I'm glad to that CCLE also makes that a big part of their certification process. But what makes it distinctly Lutheran is that they also want to know what you think about things like catechesis or law gospel distinctions, or how we understand the Old Testament. You know, some of these Lutheran distinctives that as an educator, even though I might teach Latin, just as a Lutheran Christian, I'm interested in those other doctrinal things as well. And that's one reason why I chose to be certified through CCLE, is because I liked how they didn't want me just to be a good Latin teacher. They wanted me to be a Lutheran Latin teacher who's also showing these, you know, being able to demonstrate this commitment to Lutheran doctrine. And the way they measure this, and for any of you out there who is interested in going through this process, you know, you might read certain books that they suggest and write a brief essay response to them. Or you might attend certain conferences or lectures where you hear about different theological ideas from our seminary professors or other pastors. Certainly they want you to be an active member of your local congregation. So all of those are ways that you can show your commitment to Lutheran doctrine. And then the other mark of a classical Lutheran educator is your commitment to classical methodology. So I'm thinking there about understanding the trivium and applying the trivium to the way you conduct your classes, the way you make your lesson plans. Just some of these these educational approaches that the ancients used, and we're still using them even today. And part of that, too, is just your subject matter. Obviously, as a Latin teacher, I'm teaching a classical subject. Mm-hmm. But you can apply this to any subject there is. It's not just for Latin and Greek and reading Virgil and Julius Caesar. It's for any topic that you might want to teach about in the classroom, and any level from little kindergartners all the way through high school.
Sure. Now, you mentioned the trivium. For those that don't know what that means, can you explain that a little bit more?
Happily. Now, the trivium is a three-way approach, trivium meaning three-way approach to teaching any given subject. And people who are interested in classical education, they usually start by understanding the trivium, because this is a real, almost a paradigm for understanding how the whole approach works. But it's divided into three levels or stages. You can think about the first one, which we call grammar. That's when you learn basic facts about math or reading or literature or history or whatever you're learning how to do. You first start off with learning the basic facts. And then that second level, which we refer to as the logic or dialectic level, that's when you understand the relationship between the facts that you've just learned in the grammar stage. And then lastly, that third way would be rhetoric. That's when you take the basics that you've learned and then you see how they work with one another to create something of your own. That's what rhetoric is about. It's about creating your own ideas using that foundation of grammar and logic. So you can apply the trivium to just about anything. I apply it in Latin class, where we start with memorizing vocabulary words and grammar rules. Then we move on to logic, and I show how these words can work together to create a sentence. And then in rhetoric, we're actually translating in a beautiful and meaningful way Latin passages, or even composing some on our own. You can do it for other things too. You can think about, well, even something like sports. when you're learning how to play baseball, you don't just start by joining into a game. I mean, that's part of it, but there's some basic ball skills that you have to master. You have to know how to catch and throw, how to stand, where to put your hands on the bat. All that would be the grammar of baseball. And then when you see, the logic stage, oh, okay, so the first baseman can catch the ball and then put this person out who's trying to slide into first base. Okay, these are the relationships. And then once you get the relationships down, then you can really play that game where you're using your rhetoric to put all that background to good and creative ways to play a great sport.
So this approach to education kind of applies itself in all aspects of life.
It does. And that's why it's so helpful, I think, because some people might understand it to be when you're a little kid, you're good at memory work, so you focus on grammar. When you're in middle school, you're curious about relationships, therefore you're more logic. When you're in high school, you're into creativity. And I mean, that's part of it. You can divide it that way into age groups. But I don't think that's the only part of it, because even as an adult, whenever I learn to do something new, you go through that natural process of first learning the basics, figuring it out how they work together, and then and only then are you able to run with it in a creative way that's really your own. So I think that this is not just about education in a classroom, but just the way people learn in life.
Sure. So then getting back to actually becoming a certified teacher through CCLE, what are the requirements that you have to go through in order to become certified?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I said before that they've divided this into different marks of a classical Lutheran educator. And so some of the requirements will be sending in samples of your lesson plans, which will show that you are applying some of this trivium type stuff that we've been talking about to your actual classroom. Then there might be other things that they ask about, like, sending in some assessments that you've done with your students, or some essays that you've written about a particular topic. And if you go to the website, it has everything planned out for you. The website is ccle.org. And if you go to, I think it's under All Educators or something like that, and you can click on that tab and see all of the different benchmarks and all of the different pieces of evidence that they are asking to receive from you. And some of the things they'll say, you know, turn in 3 out of these 7 choices, or turn in 4 out of these 9 choices. So there is flexibility for you to pursue your own interests and your own specialties, but they're basically divided into that Lutheran doctrine section, the classical methodology section, and then the administrative side.
Sure. So would someone actually need to be already teaching in a classroom in order to start this process?
That person certainly could start the process, but I don't think it's limited only to someone teaching in a classroom. I think that university students who are wanting to be teachers someday, even if they're not primarily interested in classical education, as in landing in a classical school after graduation, I think all educators would really benefit from learning about some of these methodologies. I think there's a lot to be said for classical education for every student, for every teacher. Now, so there's going to be those university students who are interested in making this their career. It could be teachers who are already in the classroom, who are just looking for another way to build themselves up professionally and add another accomplishment to their resume and have some more ideas in their toolbox. Because teachers, you know us teachers, we always want to be lifetime learners and keep on improving at the art of teaching. Another great group that I really encourage to become active in CCLE are homeschooling families. I'm a homeschooling mom myself, so I know how it is. When you're a busy mom, you don't always have an opportunity to take classes and become an education major all over again. But CCLE has really done a lot to support homeschooling families. And so for those parents who want some training on how they can best educate their children at home and who are specifically interested in educating them classically, CCLE has a lot of support for you. And I think the certification program is an excellent one for those homeschooling parents who want the training, want to demonstrate what they can do and get that certification.
So this is a great way for people who may not have an education background to become a better educator for their children if they want to start homeschooling. Is that something that would be useful?
Absolutely, Sarah. And I think about all of the different, the diversity of people who homeschool today. Plenty of homeschooling parents are teachers. They've had that training in college. Some of them are bankers, or some of them are farmers, or some of them are working in retail. I mean, there's so many different homeschooling families out there. I think that parents need to know that they don't have to be trained in education in order to homeschool their children effectively. But if they want to have that kind of training, especially training in classical education, CCLE is a great place to go.
That does sound like a fantastic resource for homeschooling families, especially those like myself who don't have an education background but mm-hmm. are interested in homeschooling sometime down the road. Now, is this a one-time certification, or is it something that would be ongoing, continuing ed? Are there other requirements down the road to keep this certification?
Yes. Yeah, so once you're certified, I think it's good for 10 years before you go through the process again. And what I would recommend, and kind of what I'm planning on doing, is now that I've been certified, I'm going to keep attending conferences, keep reading these books, keep doing it as part of my ongoing learning program and my ongoing professional development, so that when 10 years comes, I'll be able to update everything and give that, almost use it as a time to touch base and have a bit of professional introspection. You know, oh, what have I been learning looking back on these 10 years? And what have I, you know, what have I tried that's new in the classroom that resonates with some of these classical methodologies? Or what have I seen as a homeschooling parent in the way my children have responded to these different things that the classical approach brings? That's my plan anyway, so that I'm not waiting till year 10 expires and then I'm frantically trying to attend every conference on that's available immediately. Yeah, because it does take time to do.
Sure.
There's conferences, there's books to read. It does take some time. However, I don't want that to discourage anyone. I know when I was going through the process, attending different conferences, that's a challenge for me. I mean, right now, I live in another country. I'm not very easily able to go to different Lutheran education conferences, much as I might like to be able to do that. It's just very difficult. So there's recordings that are on iTunes U. Different websites are going to have videos that you can watch from past conferences. There's actually quite a bit available online. So though it takes a lot of time to read the books and go to the conferences and see these different things, there's more than one way to approach it. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to just check out some of the resources that are on the website, because you can really meet a lot of these, or I should say you can demonstrate a lot of the benchmarks for the marks of a classical Lutheran educator just by using those online resources.
Sure. Now, are the conferences just those from CCLE, or is it a broad spectrum of different conferences put on by different groups?
I'd say there's a broad spectrum. No, CCLE conference, there's one coming up in July. I think it's in Cheyenne, Wyoming this year.
Yes, it is.
And it's in the middle of July. Right. The theme is Pedagogy of Truth, which I think is just a fantastic theme and very timely these days to bring our attention back to truth and how we teach truth to our children and to our students. I think it's going to be a fantastic conference. So that would be an obvious place to start. But when you're thinking about how you show your commitment to Lutheran doctrine, you can go to other Lutheran conferences that may not be specifically about education, but maybe you're learning about Christ in the Old Testament, or maybe you're learning about the law-gospel distinction, or maybe you're learning about hymnody and liturgics. All of that is also part of what a classical Lutheran educator needs to be thinking about. So you're not limited just to CCLE. There's other conferences out there too, or the symposia, or things at the seminary, or even things that are at your own local church that your pastor might be leading. All of those, I think, are good ways to show your commitment to Lutheran doctrine.
Sure. Now, Since you've gone through all of these conferences and you've read all these books, have you seen benefits to your own education and your own faith life and those types of things just for yourself?
Definitely, Sarah. I've been really enthusiastic about this commitment to Lutheran doctrine part of the certification process, just because as a teacher, I do the teaching thing every day. That's my job. I love it. And vocationally, it's quite meaningful to me. But I know that I can get that kind of training even in secular resources. And I have, and I've been thankful for it. And you can get certified as just a regular teacher in many, many ways. But what I appreciate about the CCLE certification program is the way they distinctly ask it to be Lutheran. Mm-hmm. You know, they encourage you to think about your faith and think about what it means to be a Lutheran Christian. And I just think that's fantastic. And I just can't say enough good things about it.
That's wonderful. So there's CCLE's website, ccle.org. What kinds of resources are available there for people who are interested either in classical education or becoming certified, or those that see this maybe down the road?
CCLE has so many resources for that you can just read through. So, for example, earlier in our conversation where you said, you know, what is the trivium again? Could you talk a little bit more about that? You'll find their essays describing the trivium, describing what classical education is, describing what's Lutheran, what Lutheran classical education is, and just reading some of the articles, you'll get the picture of it fairly quickly. Now, that's not the only thing, though. CCLE also offers language classes. So, for example, I'll talk about Latin since I'm a Latin teacher and that's what I do. When I see how popular Latin is amongst classical educators and also classical homeschoolers, I rejoice that so many students are learning Latin, but it's also a bit of a challenge because not all of these parents and teachers have had a chance to study Latin back when they were in college. And it can be very intimidating to teach a subject like Latin if you yourself don't have experience with a subject like Latin. And so CCLE has offered these Latin courses. They're online, so wherever you are in the country or the world, you can come into these online classrooms. You have a teacher who's a master at what she does, teaching the grammar to you, showing you the grammar, logic, rhetoric of Latin, so that you are better equipped to take that to your students and to your own children. So I would say CCLE, for sure, the conference, definitely all the resources on the website, and then also check out the website for these language classes. Latin and Greek they're offering right now, and who knows what else they might offer in the future.
That is a wonderful resource for a lot of people who would like to learn those languages, but maybe don't have access to those anywhere else.
Yeah.
Definitely. We have just about another minute left. Do you have any words of encouragement for families or educators who are now looking at the website and thinking about going through this process on their own?
I encourage everybody to do it because I really believe that classical education helps so many students learn. And I know that because I've seen it in my own Latin classrooms, both brick and mortar schools and online schools like Wilson Hill Academy, where I currently am, but also in my own home school where I have one child who's special needs. It's been quite remarkable to see how some of these very old methodologies can come into this modern age, and this emphasis on truth and goodness and beauty, bringing in our beautiful Lutheran theology, joining that with classical canon of literature, languages. Oh my goodness, I'm just so convinced that this is a fantastic way to educate children and adults too. And I just encourage anyone who's curious about it to go to ccle.org, learn more about classical education, and think about if this certification might be something that you want to do, because I've really benefited from it myself. I'd encourage anybody to do it.
That is wonderful. We've been talking with Joanna Hensley, a CCLE, Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education certified teacher, and also a Latin teacher for the Wilson Hill Academy, an online classical school out of Austin, Texas. Joanna, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.